Welcome to the Ben Armstrong Show, folks. I am so glad that you have joined me, and wow. It's not in doubt. We always had our suspicions, but it's not in doubt anymore. I'll say it. The FBI planned the Capitol break-in. I won't even call it a riot, because even with the FBI being behind it all, it still didn't end up being a riot. It was a protest, and they let the people in the Capitol. And then you combine that with Antifa being there, attacking police and stuff, and trying to frame Trump supporters. This is not a joke. They know that for sure, that there was tons of Antifa there, pretending to be Trump supporters, caught on tape. And then you have the FBI. And obviously, I can assume then the Capitol Police were in on it as well. This is why they had extremely low numbers of Capitol Police there. And obviously, the Capitol Police let the people in because this was an FBI entrapment scheme. And there's no doubt. Even the New York Times has basically confirmed it. The New York Times. They've had to confirm it. Of course, they won't say it was an FBI planned cattle break. They just tiptoe around it and say, well, the FBI seems to have had informants there, and they seem to have known a whole bunch of stuff ahead of time. Well, if the FBI knew everything ahead of time, then how come they didn't step up protection of the Capitol? You see, they acted like they were caught offhand and they didn't know that this was going to happen. Except for, wait a minute, you guys planned it. There was a plot on the Capitol on January 6th conducted by the FBI to entrap people. And how do I know it was an entrapment scheme? Because they did this with Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan, and they are busted. Do you know that plot to go get Gretchen Whitmer in Michigan was a plot by the FBI? FBI agents tried to go and attack Gretchen Whitmer. Oh, wait a minute. Well, maybe they didn't really want to. But what they did is 12 out of the 18 people that were supposed to have done the plot. This is not a joke, folks. I can't make this stuff up. 12 out of the 18 were FBI informants. So there are people working for the FBI. They might not be technically an FBI agent. So excuse me if I misspeak sometimes when I'm doing this video, but they're informants. They're people on the payroll getting paid by the FBI, okay? 12 out of the 18. What does that mean? That means two people working for the FBI to every one person. Two people working for the FBI try and convince someone, let's go get Gretchen Whitmer. Yeah, come on, we got to do it. Come on. And then every two FBI informants finally gets one person to some moron to go, yeah, okay, I'll go along. And then they get him in a car and they say, see, we got him. They did it. They wanted to go get Gretchen Whitmer. Didn't you ever wonder how would they have even known to break it up so instantaneously? Because it was their plot. It was the FBI's plot. Now, here's the biggest kicker about that whole thing. Here's the biggest kicker. That very same head of the FBI in Michigan that put that all together to try to, I don't even understand the full purpose other than Gretchen Whitmer was acting like a communist and then they were trying to act like they just wanted to frame Trump people as evil people when they know they're the evil people. He gets rewarded and moved to the headquarters of the FBI. They promoted him before January 6th. I wonder if it's so that they could carry out the exact same thing. They patted him on the head and said, look at you little evil entrapment man. You pulled off and the media went with it. And everyone believes that Gretchen Whitmer had a hit on him when it was really the FBI the whole time. She never had a hit on her at all. Let's take him and say, do this now to the Trump supporters in Washington, D.C. in January 6th. And he did. I don't have the 100% proof that he did other than they promoted him and voila, January 6th happens exactly the way he did it with Gretchen Whitmer. Don't believe me. Fine. Oh, no, this is just Ben Armstrong just talking. No, it's the New York Times. It's Tucker Carlson. It's Revolver. I'm just reporting it to you.
Well, speaking of the FBI, the New York Times has just published a report vindicating what we said months ago. FBI operatives were deeply involved in the events of January 6th, the white supremacist QAnon insurrection, remember? Citing, quote, confidential records, the newspaper reported that, quote, the records suggest that federal law enforcement had a far greater visibility into the assault on the Capitol, even as it was taking place, than was previously known. The paper reported that an FBI handler was texting a member of the so-called Proud Boys, they're America's greatest threat, at the Capitol complex.
Well, right there proves the FBI did it. Because if they had had someone texting and someone was the head of the Proud Boys, whoever they are, they're probably created by the FBI. Probably. We're going to find that out. Eventually, we're going to find out the Proud Boys was created by the FBI. They created it. There is no such thing. The FBI created it and then got some people, like five people, to join up. And they said, look at, there's this group called the Proud Boys created by the FBI. Most likely, that will probably be the next thing to drop. Anyways, you have this, but see, the FBI just screwed itself, or the New York Times did in that report. If the FBI was in contact and knew, let's pretend their story is legit. The Proud Boys are going to do this, and they've infiltrated to protect the Capitol. Then why didn't they protect the Capitol? Why didn't they have extra security? Because they knew ahead of time. The very fact that they didn't protect the Capitol, the very fact that they didn't do it, proves they were the ones actually doing it. That proves it right there. Because if they were doing it to protect the Capitol and they infiltrated and protect, then they would have had extra security. No one would have ever got in. The fact that everyone was let into the Capitol is 100% pure fact that the FBI did it. The FBI was the one who organized it. The FBI got the Capitol Police in some parts, probably not every Capitol Police member, but some, to go along with this. And I bet the Democrat Party knew about it too. Because they needed something. Because they knew that people were going to try to send and have Mike Pence send the votes back to the states of the stolen election. And this got Mike Pence and all the other congressmen and stuff to turn into, not all of them, but most of them, into pansies. The Republican Party turned into pansies after this. And I think that was the plan. I don't think the Democrat Party is innocent of this. I don't think the FBI just does this roguely just for the fun of it. They do it at the behest of the Democrat Party. More.
So we called this, and we called it because Revolver.News originally broke it. Darren Beatty runs Revolver.News. He broke this story. He joins us now. Darren, thanks so much for coming on. So before we get to the question of why the New York Times is finally verifying what you reported months ago, and I think they denounced you as a conspiracy theorist for doing so, tell us what you think, since you have credibility on this, what the scope of the federal involvement in January 6th was?
Well, it's a very good question, and the extent is far more than the feds and the media were willing to admit. The New York Times piece that you mentioned acknowledges two informants. And look, the New York Times is not out to do Revolver.News any favors or to do you any favors. If the New York Times is covering this, it's because the situation is far worse, and there'll be many more informants coming to light in the near future. And I think it's very important to point out that this poses a pretty severe strategic dilemma for the feds and their apparatchiks in the regime media. Because you'll recall that Senator Klobuchar, when she posed the question about informants to FBI Director Wray, she did him the courtesy of assuming that there was no visibility into the protest because they had no informants. You see, if they had informants, that would have meant they were informed as to what would transpire. And then the question is, why didn't you do anything to stop it?
Yeah. If they had informants and then it does transpire, it says they were behind it. It doesn't even say, why didn't you do anything to stop it? If you have informants and you're aware it's going to happen and then it happens, well, you were involved in wanting it to happen. That's a fact. Proving it was an actual plot by the FBI to do entrapment. And everyone that they have arrested is caught in an entrapment scheme. They entrap people to come into the Capitol so that they could try to arrest them. They're the lawbreakers. These FBI agents should be thrown into, well, they should have a trial because we're not like them. We're not evil. They should actually stand trial and then be convicted. But they need to at least stand trial to see if they are as guilty as I'm saying of entrapment schemes. They're the lawbreakers. Man, how could you say our FBI is so corrupt? It's not like our FBI tried to frame Donald Trump or anything, right? And lied. and spied on American citizens and spied on a presidential campaign and then tried to wear wires and entrap the president and had a plot to do that and then did a fake investigation into the president and brought in Robert Mueller and then tried to find any crime they possibly could, anything they could to overthrow his presidency, that FBI would never, ever think of doing this to the Trump supporters. I mean, they only did it to the president of the United States and felt, hey, no one can touch us. We can do this to the sitting president of the United States. They would never have the courage to do it just to average American Trump supporters. No, they would never have that courage. Never. I mean, it's not like they got away with it, right? They were all held accountable. I mean, James Comey's in jail right now for signing and lying to Congress and then falsely signing documents and lying to the FISA courts. I mean, he got convicted. He's in, oh, wait, nothing happened to him. And when we were saying back then that if they get away with this, guess what? If no one goes to jail, they're going to be even more bold and more empowered to the point where they'll act like Nazis and do what the Germans did. Congratulations, FBI. Christopher Wray, you did what Hitler did. You framed a political party for attacking the Capitol. Wow. Are you a fan of Adolf Hitler, Christopher Wray? I think you are. I think you looked at Adolf Hitler and said, this guy's a genius. He took the communists in his country and said that they burnt the Capitol down and then overthrew the entire country by using that lie. And the German people believed it at first, said, oh, yeah, when it was actually them the whole time. And so Christopher Wray said, genius Hitler, let's do that. Let's frame Trump supporters and say that they attacked the Capitol, and then we can make all Trump supporters criminals, and maybe we can overthrow the country forevermore. He's a student of Adolf Hitler, Christopher Wray. And if you say I'm wrong, Christopher Wray, prove me wrong. Then come out and show everything, all your communications on January 6th and before, all your communications with the Proud Boys and other people, everything you did, then be an open book and say, this Ben Armstrong guy is wrong. I didn't do that. Here's all our communications. Here's everything we said. You know what? You'll never do that. In fact, it's probably already erased. You probably already committed another crime and are erasing it right now. Although I don't know why you need to. The Democrats will never hold you responsible. So you can sit it there and leave it there because you're never going to, there's no one's going to put you on trial. You're going to get away with it. You're 100% going to get away with it. But I want you to know this, because I know the FBI is going to monitor this show, guaranteed. I mean, just by the title. God sees all of you. God sees everything you're doing. And you will get away with it here in America right now because we're so corrupt. But you will never get away with it when you stand before God. You're already caught. You're already busted. You're already guilty. I'm not on trial in front of God. God is judging you right now. You got away with jack squat. Guess what? You're already busted. And your punishment is going to be eternal. There is nothing that anyone in America could ever do to you. No court in America could ever punish you to the amount of punishment you will receive from God. And laugh at it. I hope you do. Because if you laugh at what I'm saying right now, that will torment you for the rest of your life. I'm so angry. I should have pity on you. I can't even feel pity. I can just inform you that you will be tortured by this moment. This video will replay in eternity for you, what I'm saying to you right now, because you won't repent and you won't turn away from your sins. If you did, God will reach out to you and he can forgive you. You should repent. You should turn away. But if you don't, and I don't believe most of you will, there's some good agents that probably will, hopefully, that see this, the ones that are maybe monitoring this. But if the ones who aren't monitoring this, they're probably never going to, and they will be held responsible. They're already busted. You get away with nothing. All these people that do these criminal things, folks, you need to understand. Cockroaches in the night, they might scatter when you shine the light, and these people are cockroaches scattering when you shine light on them, but then they feel safe that they've gotten away with it because you're not capable of holding them to justice. They're fools. They're already held to justice. They just don't know it yet. They don't think God sees them. The guy that the master of the universe that created them, they think can't see what they're doing. Oh, he can read your thoughts and your heart and your motives, but he'll never know what you actually did. Really? You think that? Oh my gosh. I can't believe these people, but I know they think that. Or else they wouldn't be doing it so boldly. I got to give you more, though, from Tucker's show.
Now that we know they have informants, the question re-presents itself. Why didn't they do anything to stop it? And I think this explains an interesting amount of sort of mixed messaging that we're seeing recently from the regime media coverage of this. You'll see that basically the feds are using their sources in the media to present this new narrative that, you know what, actually there wasn't foreplanning. Actually, it wasn't this conspiracy in advance. It was more of a spontaneous outburst. The reason you're seeing this transition in the narrative is that if there was no foreplanning on the part of the so-called insurrectionists, that means there could have been no foreknowledge on the part of the feds, and they're absolved from suspicion as to why, if they knew about it, they didn't do anything to stop it. But the real beauty part about this is that even as this narrative shift protects the downside for the feds from that type of exposure, it completely blows up another foundational pillar of the official narrative 1-6, which is that it was a conspiracy, which it was this pre-planned attack that was set up in advance, and that's why it's like 9/11. It's the basis of the prosecution of all of the militia groups, essentially, associated with 1-6, and furthermore, it's the basis of the entire 1-6 commission. So they're really stuck in a bind. Either the FBI has to address new questions of why, if they had a bunch of informants and they were presumably informed, they didn't stop it, or why this whole narrative that they've been telling us about a conspiracy that was pre-planned, that serves as the basis of multiple high-level prosecutions and the commission itself, why that was false. It's either one or the other.
That's right. And either way, they are lying, and the effect is to strip law-abiding patriotic Americans of their civil liberties. And that is happening. And I appreciate your coming on, Darren Beatty of Revolver.News, which got this story right months before anybody else. Thank you.
They did, folks. They did. They were behind it. It's everything that we thought. It's worse. We don't even have all the details. But nothing's going to happen to them. Not here. I've already explained that. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Folks, some people wonder, why are evil people allowed to get away with all this stuff, and they don't even suffer consequences, and they live long lives too? And it seems like George Soros will live one of the longest lives you can possibly have, right? And you're looking at it through human eyes. You're not looking at it as God is the final judge. When you understand that these people, George Soros gets away with nothing. When you realize that George Soros gets away with nothing, then you realize why he has a long life. Do you know the Bible addresses this? They get a long life. Now, this should scare the crap out of them, but they're so stupid, they won't even get scared by this. This should shake them to their soul. God says he allows people like a George Soros to live long lives so they can build up their cup of wrath. It's so God can hammer them harder. Because if their life is cut short, they don't get to do even more evil deeds for him to hammer. He lets them fill their cup of wrath, God's wrath, on them to the rim. The more evil you are, the more God sometimes lets you live long, long, long lives. And then people scratch their head and say, well, if you're good, I mean, it seems like bad things happen to good people. I mean, I'm going through cancer right now. A lot of people, chemo treatment, and a lot of people, oh, well, then God's mad at you. No, God's not mad at me. You know, look, death is not a punishment for a Christian. Death is a reward. And when you understand these things, then evil people living long lives and good people not living long lives doesn't mean jack squat. In fact, it can be one person got rewarded and the other person got punished. Now, in the human eyes, the person who lives a long time looks from the human standpoint that they're being rewarded. George Soros should hope his life was cut short. He should have hoped he didn't live his long life. It would have been better for George Soros to die as a young man than to live the life he has lived for his whole life to have God's wrath come upon him. Do you understand that? So if you're living a good person's life and your life is cut short, but you're rewarded and you get all of eternity with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and perfected and you're cleansed of your sins, how is that a punishment? How are you being punished? How is that a bad thing? How is that God hating you? God allowing evil people to live is bad for them. It's not an act of love from God. God isn't letting George Soros live forever, it seems like, to live, I don't know. God might let him live to be 120 for all I know. And if he does, that's not a blessing for George Soros. He's just too dumb to know it. He's an atheist. He doesn't even think he'll stand before God. Good luck with that, George. Good luck with that. You're a moron. And look, you're at the point where I know your heart is so hard you would never repent. You would rather, you'd say, good, I'd rather go to hell than to serve the God that you serve, Ben. That's what his attitude would be. And you have to understand, people do have that type of evil heart. They do. Folks, a lot of people have been wondering, since I brought it up, I guess I should, because I said, well, what is the cancer situation? So I should explain. When I was on radio doing my radio show 3 years ago, I already went through publicly telling people I got diagnosed with colon cancer. Well, I had it cut out and seemed like I was cancer-free, and technically I was. The problem was is then something got caught that was growing. And we went back and looked on the scans all the way back to my very first scan and found out it was actually there the whole time in a whole different spot, not in the colon. Yet it still is somehow related to the colon cancer. It's actually a very odd situation because it's not a recurrence from my colon cancer, because that can be very dangerous where you have it, they get rid of it, and then, it recurs 3 years later. This was there at the time when we caught the original cancer. I just didn't see it because no one would have thought that it would be sitting there all by itself growing outside the colon, not attached to anything, not into any of my vital organs or anything. So it's really odd. And it's very hard for them to even determine what stage of cancer I am, because is it even cancer? I could be cancer free or I'm not cancer free. It could be a recurrence in my blood, but it doesn't seem like that is the case since it was there the whole time. It's very hard to even classify my situation. I had a 5% chance of this happening to me. I had a 95% chance of being cured completely from my original surgery, but we just didn't know that that was there. Okay, so then I had that removed, and I'm doing chemo as a precaution because I don't know if I have cancer in my bloodstream or if this is a recurrence. It's not a recurrence. I'm almost positive it's not. But the fact that two cancers were growing at the same time, related to each other, but yet not, very odd, it made sense for me to do chemo. That's why I'm doing chemo, okay? So that's the full story. So I'm on chemo. I could be cancer-free. I might not be. I'm not going to know for a while, but I'm going through it. And the chemo is, hopefully I'm doing chemo for no reason, okay? That's the way you could like pray that I'm doing chemo and I don't even need it, that I am already cancer-free. Or if I'm not cancer-free and there's hidden cancer cells and we just don't know that they're there, that the chemo will kill it all and then I'll be completely cancer-free. Either way, the goal is just to be completely cancer-free. Okay, that's my situation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, folks. No man comes to the Father except through him. You know I tell you that because I love you guys. If you're just a casual watcher and the stuff I said to other people kind of scared you to your soul, turn from your sins and accept Jesus, and you don't have to worry about God doing that. He will accept you and bring you in because he can forgive anything. But you have to truly repent. That means repent means not say I'm sorry. I'm turning from my sin. I don't want to live in sin ever again. That's repentance. That's different than saying you're sorry. Get it? I love you guys. See ya! Hey folks, the new American is guided by the Constitution. They are all about fighting for the freedoms that the Constitution guarantees us and how the Constitution limits government. And they're all about keeping the government limited according to what the Constitution and our forefathers set up. If you have not understood what the New American is about, well, I think that pretty much sums it up. Keeping America what it was supposed to be, a lawful constitutional government, and the Constitution is king in America, and it should be, and we need to protect it. And you can help by going to thenewamerican.com and subscribing as well. Do it.